and the red light is on. We're recording. Ready for this? How? Okay, this is the Breckening Podcast. I am here with the third member of Secret of Boris and the most handsome one that I know is not a secret. That's why they shove you behind a drum kit so you're not distracting from the front man. I'm here with Ryan. Is it Scherchel?
Yes, it's Scherchel.
Scherchel.
But you would never know that the way that it's
spelled,
presented on Facebook.
As a fellow member of the Uncommon Last Name Club, I can sympathize in a way. Mine is more length, complicated. Yours is a lot of SCHs.
Yeah, it's got some SCHs. On Facebook, it's
Ryan
it's
Andrew.
Not spelled.
Or now it's like Ryan Andrew on Facebook, I guess.
It's
help.
Arthur.
Arthur, that's right. Yeah. Okay. And what's that, like your middle name?
That's my middle
name. Okay, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Did you finally just give up on the...
Kind of, yeah. I mean, you know, this world is with
full of
Facebook...
Full of idiots?
Well, yeah, for sure. But also, like, in this day and age, like, you know, when you have a really kind of unpopular or unique name, like, you're very, very findable online.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, if my name were John Smith...
Yeah.
Like, good luck.
Or Cameron Taylor.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which is, no, it's funny because I mentioned that, the singer Secret of Boris, but also I have a cousin named Cameron Taylor.
I bet you do.
So, you know, Taylor, you know, one of the, you know, big last names out there.
Yeah. And, well, yeah, so, you know, it's just sort of a somewhat of attempt to kind of anonymize myself online.
Okay.
But, you know.
So yeah, I'm just a drummer. So you're a drummer of Secret of Boris, also
yep.
Manifestive, the industrial band of Paragraph Taylor, his wife Lilith Taylor.
Yep.
Ryan Bird of Secret of Boris is also in that, right?
No, it's Kevin Porter.
Kevin Porter, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah.
Okay, I was close enough. And
right. And one of the other strings from SOB.
And what other projects are you involved in that I am unaware of because
yeah.
I don't do any preparation for this.
Right. I'm also in a band called Wells Machine.
What is that?
Which is, it's really cool. Shelton, from Paper Street.
Shelton and Lowe.
Yep. And, our singer is Steve and guitarist is Dylan. And, it's very, it's kind of four on the floor rock. It's very Queens of the Stone Age or, kind of just 90s grunge kind of stuff. Some Alice in Chains influence.
Okay.
It's really cool, actually. I really, really dig it.
I like me some Caius.
Oh, yeah. You'd actually probably like it.
Outskirts of the, desert rock,
mm-hmm.
which I love that term. The desert
yeah,
rock, you're like, why? I don't know why that is the perfect name for this kind of.
It is.
It's like, yeah, I am cruising in the desert in a car that I can't afford. And, you know, it's a convertible and. These riffs are sweet, but okay, yeah.
I think you would like it then.
All right.
But it's, it's just four dudes, and we just kind of, we get together every so often. It's not even all that, you know, serious, I guess. We are serious
it's
about
the band where
about
you
what
can
we do,
have
but,
some fun, because
exactly.
the projects
yep.
you're in now are like, it's kind of serious.
This one's just kind of like, hey, you guys want to get together this week and blow off some steam, and then we always end up writing something really cool, and we're about to start recording some new stuff.
Okay.
And we do have some stuff out on Spotify too. That's pretty good. And yeah, just check it out.
are you just a drummer? You
I'm just the drummer. Yep.
Good.
And
keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Yep.
These guys that play all the instruments, you're like, God damn it, really? Pick one.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And then to kind of add on to that, I mean, those are the three bands, but you know. Secret of Boris moonlights as a Nine Inch Nails cover band or tribute band, sorry.
Oh,
called Mr. Self Destruct.
That's right.
Yep.
Y'all are two different tribute acts.
Right.
As well,
so
right?
then we also do a tribute to Limp Bizkit.
Oh, yeah. Significant
yep.
Others.
Called Significant Others.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
So,
which we have been on the same show. We did the Scott Beggs 50th. Birthday
oh,
roast,
right.
and
yeah,
which was
that's right. We did Limp Bizkit at that
yeah.
one, right? Yeah,
as
trees,
as requested by Mr. Beggs himself.
That was yeah.
And, it was maybe the bands weren't because there was you guys, and then closing out the night were the Riverboat Gamblers.
Okay,
but everything in between, was a shit show of organization or lack thereof, because I was there. I'm like, all right, I asked the guy that put it together, Pete Friedman, formerly of Central Track, now with WFAA. He like put it together. And I was like, more than happy. I'm like, well, hell yeah. I've probably one of the only comics that's done a consistent amount of stand up at Three Links. I've been there myself, you know, seeing bands. And, you know, I'd love to roast them. This is great. Yeah. So I channeled Norm MacDonald the best I could, wrote out, you know, jokes that are lovingly, you know, about Three Links, but also just ripped into fucking punk and anything I can make fun of. Yeah. And I was there and I had my jokes printed out and everything. But everyone else, I was the only one that prepared this for this roast. Because everyone else, it was just a shit show. I remember standing next to the sound guy and, one of the people there, probably sound guy, and he looked at me and he was like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck's going on here? And I was just like, I don't know, man. I'm one of the guys roasting, but I was like, I had my paper. I'm like, but I got my shit printed out, and I'm just waiting to be told when to go up.
Yep.
It was fun. I did have some fun, but.
Yeah. So was that at Three Links or Trees?
That was at Trees.
That was at Trees. Yeah, that's what I'm remembering. We also did, Scott Beggs did the Woodstock kind of throwback, where you had a bunch of tribute bands that were actually played on Woodstock 99. And so we did Limp Bizkit there. And then at the last minute, I don't remember what happened, but it was like some band dropped off or something. And so we got done playing Limp Bizkit. And he said, hey, can you guys do Nine Inch Nails? And
next
it was like 2 hours later on a different stage. So of course we had already taken our gear off and broken it down and put it, you know, in the back. And so we pull it all back out, move it to a different stage, and just play like an unplanned Nine Inch Nails set, which we hadn't rehearsed that stuff in a while. So it was a little rough, but it was fun. But I was exhausted.
Oh fuck, I bet.
But it was a fun night. You know, that was a crazy one. I think, if I remember correctly, they had a ICP tribute band, too.
Yes.
And they brought Faygo and shot it all over the place and, like...
As they should.
Well, I mean, if you want to be real, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, then, of course, after the show, someone had to mop all that up.
Yeah, and I don't feel... I'm not envious of whoever the fuck's responsibility that was.
Yeah.
You know, Faygo apparently doesn't like that ICP is used there. Now, publicly... They're like, we're not acknowledging them. But also, I think because the reason that, you know, we even know what Faygo is because of ICP. And they owe God knows how much of their revenue to ICP. My belief is that they secretly ship them, like, truckloads.
Probably.
Like, give us an address, give us a neutral address, like a warehouse. We'll just drop it off there, and then you can pick it up and whatever, you know, and, you know, spray that shit everywhere. But we will never publicly acknowledge that we approve of this or know of your existence. Because how could a product, you know, a brand be that ignorant or even that, like, you know, a little off? But like, no, that's the reason people buy. That's the reason I've seen Faygo at, you know, in more and more locations over the years.
They're growing in popularity.
Yeah, they...
I don't think I've ever even had Faygo.
No, I haven't.
It's any good, but
I try to stay away from sodas because I got enough vices. So
yeah, right.
All the fun flavors of Faygo out there, I'm probably good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to – I don't hang out with any juggalos. I'm not opposed to it, but I'm not going to go out of my way to find some to hang out with.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting thing. You know, that was – that I know that started with ICP, but, you know – we opened with SOB. We opened for Head PE. Head PE, which is a rock band.
Oh, I had those first two albums.
Right.
The one with the weird, it's like The World, but a lot of weird cartoony shit's going on.
Right,
and
yeah.
The second one that's like red and has Hey Bartender or whatever on it.
Yeah, right. Well, so we actually played with them twice at Trees. And we were really surprised, but they kind of started attracting a kind of a juggalo audience.
They
which
are
is interesting.
I have this thing. I don't know how to really flesh it out. It wouldn't work as a comedy bit. It wouldn't even work as a sketch. Maybe if it would be a fun graphic, a la like something on cracked.com. It's called the juggalo metric. It's bands that are, or the percentage, if someone listens to a certain band or musician, that the percentage they also listen to ICP.
Okay.
Now, very low, but also like Sublime. I think plenty of Juggalos listen to Sublime.
Okay.
But very few people that love and listen to Sublime probably listen to ICP. Now, the more you climb up on that, and before you get to people that are on Psychopathic Records, you know, Twisted, Axe Murder Boys, all these, you know, people that are share the stage with them. There are these groups that, and even some metal bands.
Oh, yeah.
High up on there. And you'd have to throw out just arbitrary numbers, really. But Head PE, I want to say maybe like 40%.
Yeah.
If you listen to Head PE, there's a 40% chance you probably listen to ICP.
Yeah.
Even more so, let's say in the 60 to 70% range is a band that I fucking hate, Mushroom Head.
yeah, you're right.
But they're like, you know, below them's easy, Head PE.
Yep.
And plenty of like new metal bands that, you know.
Right. Well, it kind of caught us off guard.
Weren't expecting to see face painted.
We weren't. Yeah. We kind of walked in and we're like, oh, whoa, all right.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, actually, we went over really well with that crowd.
No, they're cool. They're a cool group.
They're very loyal too.
Oh,
like
absolutely
straight up, they are.
Juggalos are more punk rock than vast majority of punk rockers.
Yeah,
and
for
just
sure.
Their beliefs and how they live their life.
Yeah,
and this is complimentary and insulting, but at the same time,
right. Got to do both, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, and we played with them twice, and both times we, you know, the shows went really really well, and then. Like we've maintained a lot of fans that we gained with that. And of course, a lot of people who saw us the first time saw us again the second time because of that loyalty. They were back for the second round. But yeah, it was kind of a strange thing that we didn't really expect. But yeah, I guess maybe we have some of that, that Juggalo crossover now too. But,
yeah. I mean, y'all are just like, you know, new metal or what's weird about this term, I wish it was around more, but groove metal,
yeah,
because that's what they say a lot about Pantera, is that, like, yeah, I'm like, well, yeah, there's some groove in that, but definitely plenty of like new metal bands have that groove,
right? Yeah,
which groove, like, in the way I equate it to, like, catchiness almost, just kind of,
yeah.
And there's even like metalcore bands these days that kind of have like a groove kind of thing to them.
Not as much as I wish.
Yeah,
and that's, I mean, I'm with you though. That certain kind of that groove that nu metal really had, you know, and that was,
and hardcore has even had like in the past.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, a lot at least the groove that I'm kind of referencing from nu metal comes from that rap influence, mm-hmm. Where it's
the flow,
the flow, and you know, what's what I like to call like the throw.
Okay.
Like that when you feel that backbeat, and it's got a certain, just, I don't know, just a certain move to it.
It makes you move.
Right. And
instead
and
of, you
and
know,
it's not, it's very, you kind of fall into the floor with it. It's just, I don't know. I'm a drummer, so I'm probably speaking in terms that no one gets, but.
Oh no, you're trying to translate music into words.
It's hard, but you know, I've always loved that about nu metal, was where it took that kind of that just that groove that just you want to slam your head into the wall and also fall onto the floor at the same time, just in this pocket, and kind of took it from rap and infused it into rock, which is why I loved Korn and Biscuit, you know, like, God, they really took that and it, you know, made a really cool sound out of kind of blending those two elements, which, and, you know, of course, that became really uncool after that.
Yeah,
but you remember, God, at one point, Korn was on top of the world.
Oh yeah,
like 98, 99,
and right on their heels was Biscuit.
They were on TRL,
like, and then Linkin Park coming around, like, and then they got even bigger than those guys,
right?
And stay. They had this, Linkin Park had this momentum, and then like a lot of like bands that play like, you know, plenty of like, you know, metalcore, new metal-y kind of stuff now, their biggest influences are Limp Bizkit. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Linkin Park
yep.
And Slipknot.
It's, yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, oh, well, these guys didn't even listen to like Unearth and, you know, Killswitch or right. Lamb of God, maybe, you know, but.
Yeah. Well, you know, and so I think Limp Bizkit, Korn, that whole new metal era, they did something so cool. And then it really became quickly uncool. And it stayed uncool, and all of a sudden it's kind of making a comeback, and I'm excited about that because that groove that I love about that, it's starting to creep back in. It's not there yet.
There's
it's coming back.
The merging of, like, you know, my past and then, you know, the recent past of, you know, like, again, I started with, you know, my best friend was into 311. That was an easy segue into nu metal.
Sure.
And then 311 weathered that nu metal storm because I always got lumped in, but they're like, we've always been doing our own thing. And then I got into punk and hardcore and, like, metalcore and, you know, spacey metal and rock. And I found out, I was like, oh, I just want to hear sweet riffs. And then, but in these days, there's this, like, pocket of bands that you have, like, Code Orange, Jesus Peace, Vane.fm, they have to call themselves now, and like Knocked Loose, one of the big metalcore bands, but even they kind of have, like, this groove part to them at points, but they're still throwing in all the breakdowns and everything. They're not that experimental, like, you know, Code Orange, but, you know, Code Orange probably the biggest example of, like, no, we wear our fucking nu metal influences on our sleeves.
Right.
But we're also going to have some of the gnarliest fucking breakdowns you've ever heard.
Code Orange is the shit, man.
I saw them once.
Oh, really?
I saw them in Fort Worth. Them, Loathe out of UK.
Mm-hmm.
They were hard to, like, I found them on Spotify, but, like, they have, like, this EP of just instrumental, weird, spacey stuff. Very atmospheric. And I was just like, oh, is this where Spotify combined two artists into the same page, because that happens all the time.
Right.
But I realized, oh no, it is the same. But then I finally heard, like, an actual metal track from them. I was like, oh, okay, I get why they're on this show.
Yeah.
And then Corey Taylor's son's band Vended was on there. And then Dying Wish opened up, who's just this great metalcore band that I found out about. And then I got there on time. I'm still a little peeved. I got there on time, but as I'm waiting to get in, I hear the band's playing, and that's like a fucking fever dream to us, you know, music venue goers, where you're like, oh, the band I want to see is playing right now, and I'm stuck in line to get in. And it's happened to me where it's not a fault of my own, where I'm just like, I'm here on time. You told me when this started.
Yep.
Like, it's the doors at this time, but the band started this time. Just like, maybe communicate. Anyways.
They're not the best at that.
So I missed part of Dying Wish, but I got to.
Yeah.
Got to talk.
Well, I mean, I'm with you. Code Orange, I've seen them a couple times now. I saw him at Dada.
Probably right when maybe their second or third album was coming out.
Yeah, and that, man, that was a wild show. I mean, a little tiny place.
Oh, yeah.
And that place was just on fire. And then saw him a couple years ago at Jexa. Oh, I'm trying to remember what show it was on. I think it was a big show. They opened. Maybe it was Slipknot. I think
they
it might have been Knot
Fest. Slipknot. Yeah.
Yeah. God, they were badass. They were so good. And
for a while, their singer was their drummer.
Right,
so
I know.
So he can only do so much. Like, one, vocals while drumming. I'm just like, Jesus, how do you do that?
And then
it was crazy how long they went, where it's just like, oh, your primary vocalist is the drummer. And they eventually found another drummer, so this guy could get out and really, I think, expand the band's sound and stage presence. Because I'm like, that required a new hardcore, metalcore, nu metal band where you have no front man. Bold.
Yeah.
And they earn their fan base and, you know.
And that's where they were when I saw them at Dada, because I was, you know, watching the show. It was just bonkers. And it's like, who in the hell is singing? I can't find it.
Is he like a weird early Maynard guy and just hiding in the shadows?
Yeah, right.
No, I can scream, but no one look at me.
Yeah. Well, and then, God, we saw him at Jexa and holy crap. Their stage show is just unreal. Like, every one of those guys just and girl just absolutely just,
and they're playing in leather, like, Jesus Christ,
they gotta
I mean,
be so
it's
damn hot
leather and... but oh, I'm like, well, I guess that helps balance it out, but damn.
But yeah, if you haven't seen that show, holy crap, check out Code Orange. They are awesome.
Formerly the Code Orange Kids.
Oh, is that
yeah,
true?
Their first, like, couple albums, they're called the Code Orange Kids. And then they just dropped it to Code Orange. It's probably like, that's probably for the best.
Yeah, probably.
But yes, hearing that, like, the nu metal groove.
Yeah, and they definitely.
I equate
that
it to energy. It's just it's a fun energy, and I'm just as guilty as plenty of people that disavowed my nu metal. I didn't disavow that I ever listened to it. I just disavowed that I'm like, I don't give a shit. I hate it now. Honestly, I really didn't listen to much of it. But then with age and maturity, you're kind of like, all right, no, it is fun. It's fun.
It
and
is.
Then you owned it. But that's one thing I respect about all of you guys. And maybe it's the musicians. It's you're a lot more honest and about, you know, your the things you like and what you're into. But with me as just someone, a show goer and, you know, a band shirt haver and someone who has been, you know, guilty of falling under the pressure of gatekeepers, where you're just like, oh, I don't feel safe admitting, you know, who I am inside about, you know, this band I like. But thank God all that shit is, you know, gets destroyed with age.
Right.
And I can be like, no, man, no, fucking live. I still will say I'm not the biggest fan of Korn. I did have 4 Korn albums growing up.
Okay.
But Limp Bizkit, I can be like, this shit fucking, as the kids say, slaps.
Yeah, it slaps.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Dude, and I'll tell you what, you know, they put a record out, was it last year, I think, 2022?
It still sucks.
Yeah, and it's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and
that riff on that opening set, that opening track.
It's so awesome.
Or whatever the fuck Wes is doing. Oh,
dude, he's just a master. He's one of my favorite riff writers of all time. Wes Borland is awesome. And, you know, and kind of going with that, you know, they've been playing these enormous shows in Europe. And, I follow them all on Instagram and God, they're playing stadiums and stuff in Europe, and
like it's people fucking 25 years ago.
Yeah, you know what? But they'll play here.
Yeah,
and they're smaller venues, but man, they get going and people erupt.
Yeah,
like people will talk shit on Limp Bizkit all day long, but once they get started, once they are at the show and they start, it's like, oh damn, that's right. This is really cool.
I get why you guys were this big. It wasn't
great. Great show. I mean, just everything about it is great. And you know, so we, you know, it's kind of funny, but you know, as an extension, as we're a Limp Bizkit tribute band, we kind of deal with some of that too. You know, we'll get to a venue and people like, you're the Limp Bizkit tribute band. Oh, okay. But shit, we start playing and
bitch.
People enjoy it. We always have a good time.
It's easy to say and to think and whatnot, but once you see it in action, I bet they, you know, kind of eat their words. They're like, oh, okay, people are really enjoying this. And
Oh
shit, look at my legs. I am too.
Damn it. Yeah. Well, you know, we played a show. It's been a few years now, but the Poor Shack, I think. I think it was Poor Shack in Keller.
Okay. Yeah.
And with the Limp Bizkit band. And we were the opening band. There was just 2 bands on this bill. We were the opener, and the headliner of the night was a Metallica tribute band.
Okay.
So we're just like, oh, this is not going to go well. Yeah, like, so hardcore Metallica fans are not Limp Bizkit fans. So we're like, well, let's just see what happens. And this place had a huge built-in crowd and then a lot of Metallica shirts. But as the night went on, we started seeing some Bizkit shirts walking in. And we're like, okay, this could be good. And so we went on and we played the show and it was fantastic. And like everyone was into it. Even all the guys with the Metallica shirts were like way into
good.
It. So I was like, okay, I get it. And I'm sure they deal with the same shit. You know, they're like the kind of the laughing stock sometimes. Oh, you know, stupid music. But they start playing and people instantly change their tune. At least while they're playing, and man,
music's easy to talk shit about, but then when you're actually there, where it's in its own element, then it's kind of like, oh, that's when reality sits in. I'm just like, well, either you're enjoying it or not, and if you're not, look at all these people that are.
Right,
you feel left out because you're probably an asshole.
Yeah, right.
I went to this show. I met like a gatekeeper type dude who, and oddly enough, and I respect that anyone can say this. Who, I was out of it. You know, I'm 38. I don't give a fuck anymore. Where I was talking to this one guy. He's been in like some, you know, hardcore, like fucking thrashy metal bands. And then another guy who's always played in like, you know, anything from country to grindcore and kind of that. But also guys that are just, you know, they're the only 2 guys I knew there. And I was like, and I hadn't seen them in a long time. So I was like, okay, cool. You know, I'm wearing the appropriate band shirt for the thing. And one of the guys was kind of like defending gatekeeping. Like, first of all, I was like, oh, I love 311. They're amazing. My best friend has 311 tattoo. I've seen them more than I would have naturally seen. I really like their shit. And they're also just like, oh, God. Like, I was just like, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you never grew out of that. But I did. And so, but we're also here watching these, like, we're watching some grindcore bands. And this happened just a couple weeks ago. I'm like, we're here watching grindcore bands. I'm wearing like a rock, punk rock band t-shirt. Like, I'm here liking this, but you still don't like that I like things. I'm not making you listen to it.
Yeah, right.
But you just don't like it. Does I find that hilarious. And I kept, it was like real life trolling.
Yeah.
But it was even better because it's not a bullshit anonymous message board shit. It was like, right. Oh, I can see this guy physically recoil because I love something that I'm not making him listen to. He just,
yeah.
I think I was like, I like, you know, 311. And I think someone you mentioned, like, and then a few sentences later, you mentioned Hootie and the Blowfish. I'm like, oh, dude, they got some great fucking songs. I love Darius Rucker's voice. His country shit, I could do without Wagon Wheel just because you hear it all the time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I was like, they're like, God forbid. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. I do like these things.
Yeah.
But I'm here at this grindcore show, though.
Right.
But that's not good enough for you.
Yeah, yeah, that's just some high school bullshit.
Oh, it is. But
like, come on, guys, get over it.
These are people, like, probably my age, if not, like, in their 40s. And I was just like, wow, you really think this way?
You're right.
Oh, maybe that's why. I don't know.
Well, you know, honestly, if
also, I don't think they're kind of the guys that laugh at anything. So,
well, right,
like,
yeah.
Like,
that's
fuck,
typically
people I know.
The case there, yeah.
That, and that's one thing I, you know, it makes me even appreciate you guys more. I'm like, oh, new metal people, they're fun to hang out with.
Right.
You get these fucking stick up your ass, like, you know, scene type guys. And it's just like, hey, guys, like, hey, there was a decent amount of people at this show.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, it's got its limits, you know.
Sure.
You know, grindcore and shit like that. Okay, yeah. There's some really fun fucking dudes. My buddy Todd Thompson, he's in like 4 or 5, you know, crusty thrash black metal-y kind of bands. He's a great dude, but that's like 1 out of every 10 people. The rest of them are gatekeeping, stick up their ass shitheads.
Yeah, you know, I don't understand that.
You guys, I can hang out with any of you guys, and it's I was like, okay, no, these are my friends. These guys, I see them at shows.
Yeah,
these are my friends. These guys are fun.
Yeah,
and the music reflects that.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, you know, especially people that don't really. Like, they only listen to one kind of music, and
what,
it's got to
like,
be, like,
one genre?
Very specific, like, metal genre. Like, God, like, you don't really like music. You like this one thing.
Yeah.
And that's, like, I don't know, you know?
You like all the bands that sound like that first band that really, I'm not doubting you love this.
Right.
But you just want to hear 50 other bands that sound like that.
Just like that,
that
yeah.
all sound like, you know, Mayhem or something. Like
right,
that.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Burzum. Yeah. You want to hear 50 incantations of Burzum.
Oh, God.
God forbid they record it and it sounds good. Like, no, yeah. This is overproduced. Fuck you.
Yeah, it needs
they
to
spent
sound
money
like shit.
On that shit. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, I don't get that. You know, like, even my favorite styles of music, I want to change it up sometimes. You know, like, I'll listen to some electronic stuff or some ambient stuff or some, you know, some pop even, you know, and then back to some heavy stuff, you know, but God, like I would just get bored of music if it was the same style.
Oh yeah.
Every day of your whole life.
It's like people shit on the band Ghost. And, I don't really like their like first few albums just cause it's a little slow to me and a little like, all right. But their latest album and maybe the album before that, I fucking love because it's very poppy, but also it's arena metal. I think Paragraph called it like Bon Jovi, and a part of me is just like, I guess it is, but like metal Bon Jovi,
yeah.
But also really fun, and I get their whole thing, and that. But even in the realm of Ghost fans, there's the old people like, no, sound more like, what's like the main one of their main influence? Anyways, I'm forgetting. What Ghost, the early Ghost kind of sounds like. I'm blanking on that.
Oh, well, okay. And
Blue Oyster Cult. It's like, no, sound more
okay,
like
sure,
Blue
sure.
Oyster Cult.
Yep.
I'm just kind of like, or have some really cool choruses that I can pretend like I'm singing it.
Right. Yeah, you know, and I guess that's a good problem to have.
And like,
you,
this piano is actually kind of awesome. Like,
right. Yeah, no, you know, it's a good problem to have if you have, you've got that many fans, first of all, but also you have evolved that much,
yeah.
You know, I can't really speak on Ghost very intelligently. I don't know a whole lot of
it. Same. I first heard him. I was like, this is boring. I don't like it. And then anything came, I'm like, this is still boring. And then it took like 2 music videos of like stuff from their last album and the album before that. I was like, oh, this shit's really cool. Then I realized, oh no, I like this part of them.
Yeah.
And the other part, it's all right.
Yeah. Well, sure. And that, I mean, that it could be that way with a lot of bands, you know, and especially as they evolve and grow, like, you know, they're going to get better. They're going to go different. And the people that love the first stuff may not love the stuff later on. And that's okay. Like, you know, it's, but that shows that you're actually, you're maturing and growing as a musician.
Yeah. Hopefully
I can respect that, but there are a lot of people that can't, and they don't get it. They don't understand it. And you know, I guess I can understand that too. If you aren't a musician or you don't have a creative endeavor of your own where you understand how growth happens, you know, like I don't make the same kind of stuff I made when I was 16, and that's good because the stuff I made when I was 16 was not good. But like, you know, with any sort of art form, like you gotta grow, like you gotta get better. And shit, if people don't like it, well, they can, your old stuff is recorded. They can go listen to that and they can just stay there. But yeah, I mean, you know, I can respect Ghost a lot, you know, with a lot of the imagery that they've got, you know, all that is really, really genius. And they're obviously
just wearing button up shirts with ties on stage.
Oh man, that's old. That's old.
Y'all need to up your right, wardrobe budget.
Well, yeah.
Y'all not really do that these much.
No, okay. No, that was more of a lame thing.
Oh, okay. You know, yeah, it was
the band name before Secret of Wars Together. We don't really do a whole lot of that.
Because maybe a drumstick gets caught in your tie, and you're just kind of like, guys, I'm glad I'm wearing a clip-on. You just throw that shit off to the side. Like, God damn it, these fucking ties. I'm a drummer. I need space. My arm's got to move, man.
Yeah, I don't love wearing ties on stage, but, you know, I've done it. I think Ghost is that kind of a good example of one of the big rock bands of today that's keeping rock music alive, at least for the time being. Goddamn,
I give so much credit to Mastodon, who, like,
Mastodon too.
I hope in 50 years, like, I don't want to completely shit on Metallica, and I honestly, that new album, I got halfway through the first song.
I saw your Facebook post about that.
Because I was so blown away, I was just like, I was driving, you know, I was being safe or whatever, and I was on the highway, and I was just like, this song's taking forever, tell me it's almost over, and I looked down, I was like, this is halfway. Fuck this. I ain't got the patience for this right now. And I've listened to plenty of things. I've so many bands, like all these, I love a lot of post-metal bands, and they fucking routinely have 10, 13-minute long songs. But it goes somewhere. It's a build-up.
Something
and heavy, and then this, you know, very gentle interlude to something that's a heavy build-up. This was just uncreative rehashing Metallica I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
so,
I respect them.
Well,
respect
sure.
Respect what
yeah,
they
yeah.
did, but musically, I hope Mastodon is remembered as better music creators, because
I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I think musically, pound for pound, with album and, you know, trajectory and evolution, Mastodon's just constantly destroying it. With my brain and ears, personally.
Well, sure. Mastodon's awesome. I do love
fucking
me some Mastodon.
Love. And you know, there's Mastodon fans out there that are just like, I wish they play old sludgy shit. I'm just like, do you not listen to, like, there's parts of that in things that they make now, but they're also, you know, these four awesome dudes. Also, they've mostly, like, they've stuck together. There's something about bands that either have the same core or have the same, like, they eventually find the same core. I'm not saying you have to have the perfect lineup from the get-go. That's insane.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, 311.
Oh, yeah.
They brought it, eventually, they brought in S.A. Martinez, and that was it. Mastodon, they got Brand from Today Is the Day, and those guys are in other things too, but like, they're like, oh, we found our drummer, this guy does like the rolls and the fills that, and he was like self-taught, and it's just like, holy, this is the drums that we need for this thing.
Yeah.
And I love when, you know, Sick of It All, one of my, you know, one of the first hardcore shows I ever saw, Sick of It All, has they replaced their bassist in like the early mid 90s, and to this day they're still fucking touring.
Yeah.
Having fun. And I just like it when bands just have this, when they can, you know, things happen, I get that, but when they have this core, there's something about, I realize a lot of the bands I like, and especially they have some longevity to them, they always have this core to them, and I think that's just like the best. Like Converge, one of my favorite bands, when Jane Doe came out and they finally were a four piece and they also found their drummer. And then that was, like, the drummer they needed, this, like, fucking insane drummer. I'm blanking on his name. But and ever since then, for the last, like, 20 years, they've been this four-piece playing this chaotic fucking hardcore metal that I fucking love and think is very creative.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you there. I want to go back to the Metallica thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I'll be honest, I have not listened to the new record. I respect Metallica a lot. They've obviously, I mean, there's not another, and I don't think there ever will be another Metallica.
No, they can't.
I mean, it's they own everything. But, you know, I've heard really good things about that record, and I've heard a couple not so great things about it. But I'm interested to hear you say that. Like,
I'm going to eventually listen. Well, I need to listen. I'm going to listen to all the new record. I need to go back and listen to, like, the other albums of this century. Because I've Death Magnetic, Hardwired. Hardwired, .. to self-destruct. I'm just like, okay, can you just call it Hardwired? Or what's with the ellipsis? That's unnecessary.
Yeah.
I think those are like the three minor, and then like Saint Anger before that. Nobody likes that.
Yeah.
it was like in this part. Anyone listening and care, where I'm here again at our unofficial sponsor. We're here at Pro Rehearsal Studios, and it was here where I first heard Stanger. That's what people call Stanger. And I was like, oh, that's hilarious. I like that. That is the I like inventing a new word to express how much people hated that snare. It was all in the snare too.
It's all the snare. Yeah.
A guy re-recorded that. I think someone on YouTube re-recorded that album with like an appropriate snare sound. And you're kind of like, oh, okay, I see what they're going for.
Yeah, you know, poor Bob Rock. You know, that's unfortunately that may be one of his legacies is that snare drum.
Oh.
And I mean, you know, obviously he's done a lot of really good work, but I saw something, this has been several years now, but where I think he was interviewed about it and asked about it, and he's like, it's what Lars wanted.
Oh,
Lars was behind that. And so he's kind of putting it on Lars, and of course Lars is not going to own up to that because everyone hates it, but, you know.
And Lars, everyone hates Lars.
Well, don't get me started on Lars Ulrich and his drumming. But, whatever. Well, I'll stay away from that on this particular episode.
I don't think he's going to hear it. That's fine.
Oh, he might.
Hell, if he does, then hell yeah. Then I can have him on and rebut.
Yeah, everything. Right. Yeah, I'm sure he's interested in making sure that the world knows his side of my opinion.
I will fly to San Francisco if he agrees to be on this podcast. Also, if I could stay in one of his many guest rooms, that would help me with the, balancing out the price of the plane ticket.
Yeah.
And
well, so what you were saying about the Metallica record kind of reminded me of the last Tool record. I don't know. Are you a fan of Tool?
Oh, I love Tool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can also accept any jokes about Tool.
Well, I can too. I love Tool. Tool is probably my favorite rock band. And I've loved Tool since I was in high school. I just have this very special place in my heart for Tool. But I do not like the last record.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I listened to it, or I tried. I got halfway through it, and I kind of like halfway through that, for you, the first song. But for me, halfway through the album, I was like, I am bored to tears. And I don't really like any of this.
I was just thankful there was more Tool. So I didn't I didn't have expectations of just like, this has to be a new Lateralis or something like that.
Well, sure, I guess. But
all that time, you do expect some fucking
shit. I feel like if there's going to be more of it, it better be as good as the rest. And if it's not, then don't put it out. Like, please don't put this out. And, I mean, to be fair, I stopped halfway through the record, and I have not picked it back up. So I can't really speak about it.
Seven. Start number seven.
With the seven. Yeah, yeah. I know.
That's odd, but.
Yeah. So, believe me, I've got friends that tell me, oh, you just got to listen to it some more. It'll grow on you. And I'm like, well, none of the other Tool stuff had to grow on me. It was good. Like, there were hooks.
Instantaneous.
It's like I think back to some of my favorite Tool songs, and like, while they're not pop songs, they have hooky choruses and hooky parts that you can remember. But I listened back to that first half of that record, and I was like, I heard a lot of guitar and a lot of drums and a lot of bass, a lot of vocals. I can't remember any of it. And it's not drawing me back, and also I'm bored, and I don't even want to listen to the rest of it. And I hate to say that about likely my favorite band, but I just, I really wish they hadn't put that out. But, I mean, whatever, you know, maybe one day I'll go back and I'll love it. And, you know, so just kind of saving a little.
Maybe when you finally mature.
Yeah, well, yeah, when I finally grow up, yeah. But
I was I went and gave blood, platelets, which takes fucking forever. It can take up to 2 hours because they take out the blood, take what they need, and put the blood back in you. It's weird.
They put it back in?
Yeah, yeah, because they just take the platelets and they put the blood back in. And then, like, your gums feel a little, like, fuzzy because you're losing calcium. Anyways.
okay.
They really need platelets.
Why
like,
do you have
time.
To put it back in? Like, why well, just how like, they do it. Hey, it's mean, already out. Just, like, leave it out. I'll make more.
Because they would need to take out a lot of blood because they got to put it back in.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Otherwise, you're fainting, I guess. So, anyways, I knew to have – I had to kill a certain amount of time. So, I brought, you know, fully charged phone, AirPods. And when I got bored of, like, a podcast I was listening to – not this one, of course. I was like, listen to some music. And I was like, you know, I got time to kill. So let me put on something that takes a long time. And then I put on Tool, is it Rosetta Stone?
Yeah.
The guy getting abducted. And just like, doctor, you know, this. All the little background stuff, too. Like,
right,
you know,
yeah.
It sounds like you're in a fucking hospital. And then, but that song, as weird and crazy as it is, does have like some hooks. Like, you know,
it's that whole record is great that way.
I forgot again. Like,
right, yeah.
I forgot my pen. Oh, I got shit the bed again. You're like, oh, these are good lines.
These are good lines.
And they rhyme.
And they rhyme. And they, like, and you can remember them. Like, they're memorable. And that's the thing I was missing.
I was even looking at the
one.
Lyrics, just like things I probably didn't know, just plenty of it. But I was like, listen, I was like, oh, yeah. I'm like, fuck, these are good. Well, especially because he gets really fast and, you know, a lot of that song. So I wanted to read along and just kind of like, oh, yeah, just yeah, these words are fucking hilarious. This is some Maynard ass shit right here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great record. And, you know, that was
and 2006, even the shit about, like, Wings for Mary. Like,
oh, holy, God.
The shit about his mom. I was just like, am I crying? I
yeah.
don't know.
That's a great, that's a great.
Son of a bitch. Yeah.
I think that was ill-placed on the record. I don't know why it's in the middle. It should have been at the end. But
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
that's a whole other thing. But I mean, that record is just fantastic. And, I mean, Ride in Two and
yeah,
Pot and Jam By. I mean, just. All that stuff is amazing. That was such a great record. And then it was, 15 years or something that they took to put the next one out, and then it just kind of wasn't that good. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I was disappointed. I still love Tool. I will still see them every time they come.
I've still never seen them.
Oh, man. You got to go.
Well, I had a golden opportunity one time. My buddy Philip, he used to work at an Olive Garden with some friends, and their GM was just like this cool lady. You know, she knew people, whatnot. And then he was working at a different, you know, like independent place and like independent bar restaurant in Irving. And so he called me one time, and I was waiting tables at a seafood restaurant in Arlington. So he called me up. He's like, hey, Caitlin and Vincent are friends who all used to work at the Olive Garden with, you know, and they knew that GM. They're like, hey, they got tickets thanks to that GM, and she was going to see Tool. My friends Caitlin and Vincent like hit me up. They're like, hey, we just hit up Philip, because they used to be roommates, so they hit up him first, and he was going into work, and he was like, it was a Friday night, and they're like, Philip can't go. Do you want to go? And I was like, fuck, I just got to work. Give me like 10 minutes before
you gotta find a way to get out.
Let me on the. I go to the schedule. I make some calls. Some, you know, people like, you know, who aren't there. I'm like, I will pay you to, you will come and make money, and you'll make more money because I'll pay you. I have an opportunity of a lifetime right now.
Yeah.
These were Pit tickets, by the way.
Okay.
I'm like, fuck. I've never seen them before. Pit. Oh my God. And then I was like, ah, fuck. So people that weren't working that night, I called them, you know, some people didn't answer. Some people were like, I can't. I was like, all right. It came down to one guy who was working lunch. And I asked him, this guy named Rudy, I was just like, can you please work a double? Because Rudy was in shape, dude. So the physical part of waiting tables for four, five, six more hours, that's nothing to him.
Yeah.
But he was like, oh, I got a date with my girlfriend tonight. And there's a part of me I just want to be like, motherfucker, you cheat on her all the goddamn time. Like, don't make me say that. But
yeah, right.
I didn't. And I was just like, I was going to be like, dude, this isn't going to matter in the long run. This tool show I could see, this will matter in the long run to me.
You're right.
I was like, I will give you money and whatever. So he didn't do it. So I was like, I relented. I was like, fuck, you know, texted or called him back. I'm like, I can't do it. So then it pinged back to my buddy Philip. Well, he didn't work for a chain restaurant, you know, and he was really good at waiting tables. And so he was just like, well, fuck, Brian can't go. He's like, all right, fuck it. I'm going. So he just walks out, clocks out, walks out, and go meets up with them. They start drinking. They smoke some weed. They go have a fantastic fucking time. And it was just like, I couldn't do that because, you know, I'd probably, you know, I was working for like a chain restaurant. It wasn't Red Lobster. Anything like that. It wasn't that nice. But I was like, oh, fuck, you know, I need to keep this job, whatever. Yeah. And then my buddy Philip fucking George Costanza's it. So that was a Friday. Goes out. He's probably still hungover. Has a great time. Saw Tool right there in front of his face. Saturday, he walks in. Like nothing happened.
Like nothing happened, yep.
And he walks in, and they're like, hey, you can come to the office. He's like, all right. Sits down. He gets suspended for 3 days. Because they can't afford to lose him.
Worth it.
Yeah. So he got to go see Tool, and then he gets 3 days off.
You're right.
I was like, you motherfucker. Like, and that definitely wouldn't have happened to me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, goes right back to work, you know, after 3 days. I'm like, you son of a bitch. So there's a part of me that's just like, I think it's just meant that I won't ever see them.
Yeah, well, you should. Oh, it's awesome. Should. It's a great show. It's one of the shows, like, one of the only remaining kind
I'd wanna,
of bands
I'd
that
I'd
want
to have really good seats, though.
Well, sure, but you don't even need to. Like, if you know the songs, and if you are...
I would really want to.
Well, of course, you always want to, but even if you didn't, it's still good. And, you know, it's one of those bands for me where I can still go in, watch the show, and I can turn off my analytical side. You know, when you're a musician and you're at a band show, like, you're enjoying it, but you're always, like... watching, like, what are they doing? Oh, did they just mess this up? Oh, what's going on? With Tool, I can still turn that off and like totally just a fan and not overanalyze everything, and I can still get like fully into it. And I just love that about Tool.
Have you ever met these dipshit Tool fans that they so well, like when Tool's coming through town, you know, you can kind of know.
Yeah.
And then, especially, like, the next day, there's also these people, like, I saw this a lot with Pat Green. I'd always see, Pat Green was in town.
Okay.
The next day, like, at high school or community college, I see a fuck ton of Pat Green shirts. Because the next day, they would wear that shirt that they bought. So, if someone had, like, the Tool shirt, or if I knew they were going to Tool, or, I'm sorry, after they'd seen Tool, so maybe they were wearing that tour shirt.
Yeah.
And obviously, you could check, like, the day it was and the back of their shirt and be like, oh, would you go see Tool last night? They're like, yeah. So Tool always pretty much brings out amazing openers. An opener.
Generally. Not always.
Well, bands I already love.
Okay.
Meshuggah.
Meshuggah, yeah. Okay.
I believe Mastodon as well. Bands like that, Primus, you know, that's kind of like a given. They go way back. But, like, so three, like, all of my favorite bands, Meshuggah, Isis, Mastodon, have all opened for Tool. And I'm pretty sure Mastodon is one of them.
I think you're right. I know you're right about
it. Sounds
about
like it
Meshuggah
be.
And Isis, yeah.
Meshuggah and Isis, I know 100%. Yeah. But generally, you are correct. Generally, Tool, and if I know who the opener is, and there's part of me is just like, fuck, like Isis and Tool would be great, Meshuggah and Tool.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, oh, shit. I was just like, oh, you went and saw Tool? Oh, did you check out Meshuggah? And they're like, oh, no, man, we just got there when Tool went on. And part of me is just like, you did not deserve that ticket. Like, one, don't you think, now, again, you've probably seen Tool where the opener was just like, or something just too weird, maybe.
I have, yeah, unfortunately. But...
maybe it's in the cost of the ticket. You think for maybe generally, Tool is going to have someone open for them that their fans will also like.
Yeah.
But I've met so many Tool fans that they don't ever go and even check out. They never like that band open. Maybe you would like them. Yeah. Maybe, especially like Isis. Like those, you know, Meshuggah. I could see how a Tool fan might not like them. Right. I get that, a little on the heavy side, you know, a little. Isis, though, you know, totally, you know, should be up like a Tool fan's
alley. Absolutely, yeah.
Especially live.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I saw Isis open for Tool. We went down to the Cynthia Ira Woods Pavilion. I think that's what it's called in Houston. Mm. And it's basically their Jexa down there. And we saw Tool and Isis opened. And it was just like this perfect spring night, like perfect weather. And like we had seats, but we went out to the lawn and just sat out on the lawn and listened to Isis and just sat there and just chilled. And it was perfect. Like, I was like, this is absolutely the best opener you could have brought.
Yeah.
Like, just amazing. But
and I think Adam Jones is like played in like maybe I think at least two Isis songs.
Oh, has he? Okay.
Yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
I think at least two. Definitely one.
Yeah. Well, the first time I saw Tool was in 2001 or two, I think, in Fort Worth, and Tomahawk opened, which is Mike Patton.
A Mike Patton joint.
It's one of Mike Patton. And oh my God, it was really bad.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know.
Oh, he's a very much acquired taste.
Well, like, he is. And I mean.
Even Faith No More, I respect him. But
absolutely.
I'm just kinda like,
Faith No More and Mike Patton, in, you know, specifically, is really, really creative, really does some awesome things, and then also does some not awesome things. And, you know, and I guess that's expected from someone that is that outside of the box, if you will. But Tomahawk was really bad. And I mean, I was 14 or 15 at the time, but it was almost as if he was going out of his way to just assault the audience with just harsh sound. And all I remember from that was there was a couple minute long streak of just really high pitched sound that was just piercing.
Sometimes not out loud, but I'm like, okay, this is unnecessary.
This is unnecessary, and it's almost like he's just saying fuck you to everyone here,
yeah.
And for 2 minutes, just gonna like assault you with these horrible frequencies, and it was bad, and everyone was not happy. Like no one was into it. It was a very strange thing. And of course, I didn't know who Mike Patton was when I was 15. I kind of, you know, started my musical journey, you know, in high school. And once I learned, oh, that's Mike Patton and that's Tomahawk and that's that horrible band we saw open. Like, how did, you know, but hey, you know, it works that way sometimes, I guess.
Is Tomahawk the one that is Buzzo of the Melvins in that? Or
you know, I don't know. Possibly. I all I remember about that was that just like that couple minutes of just horribleness and how just, I mean, people were booing, people were like upset, like leaving in droves. It was crazy. But then, yeah, then they, you know, Meshuggah and Isis and I don't remember who opened the last one that I saw, but
was it I know Author and Punisher was one of their openers recently.
That's right, Author and Punisher's awesome too.
And that's an acquired taste. If I had Tool tickets to see Tool, they're opening, I'm just like, oh yeah, I gotta go check this out.
Yeah,
but hearing them like drive in on Spotify, I'm just kind of like, I'm good. Yeah, very creative, and the guy literally created, I don't know, this giant workout machine that creates industrial noises.
Wait, have you seen all that stuff?
And
I mean,
kazoo,
he like hand builds all this stuff,
yeah.
And
that's,
I mean,
where
it's
I'm
wild.
Just like, well, fucking mad respect.
Yeah,
I don't, I'm fine, but you know, that's cool.
not really your cup of tea. I get it, but it's pretty. I mean, just to see him actually perform it, like you know, where he's got all these crazy sliders and machines that he's crafted.
I want like factory footage from an 80s movie where sparks are flying everywhere. That like a band.
Right.
I want that scene in every movie, like Terminator 2, but a band.
You're right. Yeah.
Okay, I guess I gotta put on my welding mask and make this. Like, wait, you got instruments right over there. No.
I saw Author and Punisher at Gas Monkey Bar and Grill. Mm-hmm. That's what it was called at that point. But this is probably 2019 of summer. So it was like August. And I think that they opened for Three Teeth. He opened for Three Teeth. And it was like 100 degrees outside. I mean, the sun was down and it was still like 100 degrees out. And the poor guy, he's up there mid set. Everything just crashes. His computer just shut down.
Oh.
It's just silence, and then all of a sudden you see these stagehands running out on stage. I mean, and it's packed, you know.
Yeah.
So, and they can't get it working. And so then they start bringing out fans, and they've got like three or four fans just like blasting on all of his equipment. Yeah. And it turns out everything just overheated because it was so hot. And there was literally like a 20-minute silence while they cooled all his stuff down, and it was able to reboot it and finish out the set. But it was painful.
Turn on any like house music?
Well, I think eventually they had to do something.
Just give us a second. We got to cool the shit down.
But yeah, it's really awkward and really horrible. I felt really bad for the guy because, you know, it's like, man, that's a tough break. But also,
nobody communicated to the crowd. Like, maybe you could piece together what was happening.
It was pretty obvious. You know, it's not a huge venue, so they could see.
Someone should just be like, guys, give us a moment. The shit overheated.
Yeah.
You get it.
Yeah.
Bear with us. And I would probably be like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I felt really bad for him, and you know, I'm sure he learned a lot about touring in the southern states in the summer. Like, you got to be prepared for that if you're gonna.
Built all this shit. Probably, you know, got to build in like a self.
Put a
cooling
fan in that thing.
Yeah, put in some fans in this thing, and
yeah. So that was
maybe
an interesting
go acoustic.
Experience.
Don't know. Yeah. I think it'd be funny if his shit went down. He just like out of nowhere just pulls out an acoustic guitar and be like, "Hey guys, didn't expect this now, did you?"
Yeah, I don't know how well that would go over industrial music. There's not a whole lot of melody in that.
Kind of requires an electrical connection.
Yeah,
sorts,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, yeah, that was wild. But hey, you know, I mean, he's still going, so it didn't ruin his career or anything.
Yeah.
So
back to the shop. Got to make some mods on my. I'm impressed when someone like builds like a guitar, but like building instruments. For what you got, like, that's...
Yeah. Well, you know, and these aren't... I mean, these are like, pretty advanced things. Yeah, we watched a video
about
him.
I picture, like, he's
on
a treadmill, too, for no reason.
Yeah, just because. Yeah.
Yeah.
We watched a video on YouTube where he kind of goes into some of this stuff. I mean, like, it's advanced. You know, all these little electronic parts and, you know, and then MIDI connectors and you know, he's figured out ways to translate certain movements into certain, you know, actions on a keyboard. And I mean, it's crazy. And he talks about it like, oh, well, you know, anyone can do this. Or like, I don't know.
Sure, yeah. The big thing, he's making DJs look like lazy pieces of shit.
Right.
Oh, what? You got like a couple laptops up there and like another little keyboard thing? It's like, yeah. Oh, did you buy that? Okay, asshole. All right. And you just got a great light show and maybe a helmet. Okay, sure. Whatever. Yeah. I built everything. Nobody knows what this is.
Right. And no, he probably couldn't build it again. He's just kind of like putting stuff together and just kind of got lucky.
Ah, and he's just like, oh, shit. I should have wrote down some notes along the way. Yeah. Uh-oh. It's like when I see pictures, videos of like people that, there's one that's like, this guy on TikTok restores old things, like 100-year-old, you know, metal tool things, like a bread maker or something like that. It's edited together of him, like, you know, unscrewing everything to go put it in its chemical bath to get the rust and all that shit off. And I'm watching that. I'm just like, I'd kind of like to see the longer video of this, of just like, you know, does he go back to the tape to like when he's putting it back together? He's just like, oh, fuck.
Where does this screw go?
I got 57 screws here. I don't know. I know they go in this thing, but, shit. Okay, I go back to the tape, rewind. What did I take that out of? Like, there's got to be, yeah. And he should just play acoustic.
Yep.
All right. So what is the name of the new album? I can't get that out of you. I'm just kidding. I know you probably
well,
don't
we,
have
we can't,
it.
We can't, put
I
it.
Know.
We can't put that out there
It's
yet.
A secret. Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, it's going to be good, though.
Okay.
It's, And yeah,
it's called the Breckening Sessions.
The Breckening Sessions.
And I humbly accept.
Well,
I am the sixth member of Secret of Boris now. before we started, I think every new metal band should shun the DJ part and just have a comedian.
You need a comedian. That's the new metal.
It's part like Boss Tone's dancing guy, and part the guy, rest in peace, the Kid Rock side dude. Kid Rock's mini me.
Yeah,
I can't remember. But it's like a combination of that. In between songs, I pop in with some one-liners. You guys take a break. I do a quick five. If it's going good, maybe, you know, 7 to 10, something like that. And I don't know. We're just trying to revolutionize, you know, live music.
Maybe that's what it is.
And
that's
get
what
in
it
front
needs.
Of audiences in a much easier, instead of, you know, having my texts and emails ignored from clubs. Just fucking go. I did get to go do stand up. Like, I was at Curtain Club, and this wasn't like a planned thing. I know y'all played there, and I was like emceeing. That was weird. And like, whatever. Jim was there, you know. Friends were there, and it was fine. But it was, like, the curtain was literally closed behind me, so I wasn't even technically on stage. I was up on the step. Anyways. So I went and saw a Mutoid Man was there. That's a side project. Okay, Ben Culler of Converge. He's drums. And Steve Brodsky of Cave-In plays guitar and sings. And currently they have the bassist of High on Fire as their bassist. So they're headlining. But before them was this band out of Seattle called Helms Ali.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know them.
Fucking phenomenal. Loud as shit, too. I remember watching them. I was there with our buddy Nick Rash.
Yep.
And so I have a witness. So Helms Ali's playing. And the guitar player, one of his strings breaks. And this isn't a band that has, like, you know, 3-4 guitars sitting off to the side. You know, it's one guitar for everything. And so it was either the bass player or the drummer, one of them. She goes, hey, he's got to fix his guitar string. This will take a minute. Is there, like, a comedian in the audience? And the second she got done saying that, me and Nick just lock eyes. And I'm just and like, no. So, yeah, he's to my left. We look at each other, and then next to me, my right arm's just going up. I'm like, oh, shit, my hand's in the air. Because I don't prepare.
I mean, that's like being on an airplane, and someone's like, is there a doctor on board?
Comedians are just as important as doctors. Yeah, thank you. Right. I didn't want to have to say that, but we are. The gift of laughter is amazing. But I've always thought about that happening, but you don't prepare for it because it never does. And then it's like, but then I was like, oh, shit. And I was like, well, I am a comedian. And what's funny is I immediately went up there and plugged my show down the street that was happening like next week or something. And then it took me a second to get, like, I was kind of like, I didn't come here with a set list in my pocket. I didn't have it. I don't think I was doing any comedy after the show. And I was just like, all right. And then I finally got into like some material, and I have material about a merch table. So I was like, I was like, oh, this is perfect. I can kind of do that, you know, in front of a regular crowd. But I'm like, if any crowd's going to get this material, it's this crowd watching these bands with merch tables in the back. And so I was able to, like, do that. And it got to a point, I did, like, 10 minutes. And it got to a point where the guitar player, like, he's already done. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm sorry, man. Are you ready to go? He's like, no, man. He's like, well, you can keep going, man. I'm having a good time.
Nice.
And then I was like, oh, shit. All right, well, no, you're good. All right, guys. Once again, Helms Ali. And they bought me a beer. The band bought me a beer afterwards. And like a couple of years later, they came back through with Cave-In. They combined a Russian Circle show with Cave-In.
Was that the one at
Deep Ellum Art Company?
Oh, Deep Ellum. Oh.
This was like November 2019.
Okay, yeah, yeah. No, I saw, I think Helms Ali was on the Russian Circles show at RBC in like 2016.
Oh, okay.
I was there, and that show was badass.
Oh, that would have been nice to see.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So there, I was like, oh, sweet. So it was like one band opening, The Primals, something like that, and then Helms Ali, Cave-In, Russian Circles. So again, I go there with Nick, and we're just like, oh, let's go find those Helms Ali guys. Like, they'll probably remember. And they're like, they're up next, and so we don't like bug them too much, but they're out like literally doing like stretches, and I'm like, and they're not a bouncer. I'm like, oh, good for them. They do look like a band that, you know, watches what they eat. And then they're doing some stretches, and me and Nick go up. I'm like, hey, guys, good to see you again. Remember me? Like, and I think they did, but I was like, yeah, I did comedy last time you were here. And if they didn't remember, they probably see a lot of people. But I was like, hey, I did comedy last time you were here at the Mutoid Man show. They're like, oh, shit, man. Hey, good to see you again. I'm glad Steven Brodsky likes you because you're on this, you know, awesome combined show.
That's a great story, man. That you just got called up randomly to do comedy.
And like great is like the one time, like, I was like, okay, good. It was for bands that I'm like, I'm really, you know, stoked to see.
Yeah.
And not just like you're just drawn into, or you're just like, you're like, I'm here to see these bands for some reason I don't care about. You're just like, you know, and they're like, we need a comedian. And I'm just like, nah, I ain't doing that. This one, I was just like, oh, shit, this is the moment.
Wow.
And then I stage dived. No.
Oh, God, yeah.
That would have been great.
To the floor.
But yeah, yeah. That would have been a great, like, movie moment.
Yeah, right.
But, all right, man, we can wrap this up. We're clocked in about an hour, almost hour five. Anything else you want to plug? This is going to, I can't tell you when this is going to be uploaded.
Well, but, okay.
Like, general, obviously, go see Secret of Boris.
Yeah.
Manifest
Secret of Boris.
You will see Ryan Arthur. When I've seen y'all play live, you look like you're having such a fun fucking time.
Oh, yeah.
Like some, you know, again, you're not like doing blast beats, you know.
No,
thank God you can play this. That you look like you have fun up there.
I do.
You have a fucking smile on your face. I'm just like, Jesus, like this. It's refreshing. Really.
Well, you're good. I appreciate that. I do.
Some of us notice.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Yeah. Generally,
shaking his hips, whatever. Yeah. Paragraph's doing his thing. Guys are rocking out, playing riffs. So I'm just like, yeah, fucking church. Yeah. Just,
you know,
having a blast.
I really do enjoy it, and you know, I guess I'm just lucky that I find myself in bands that I enjoy. You know, it's like I'm not just kind of playing with bands just to have something to play.
Yeah.
Like the bands I'm in, I'm in because I really like them. And so, like,
not just in it for the money.
Yeah, the money. Yeah. but yeah, so I do have a blast playing, and you know, like I really think that if you don't worry about trying to look a certain way, you know, you just kind of like let it be, just let yourself like have fun.
Yeah,
that kind of translates. People pick up on that, and that's, you know, I'm usually in the back in the dark, but there's always someone that comes up to me after the show and be like, hey, I always just watch the drummer, and yeah, oh, you, and I hear that a lot. Like, look,
thank
like
you tell you that
having
after
a good
you're
time
play.
Well, yeah, right.
Besides that, you're like, oh god, all right,
yeah. So yeah, no, I'm glad you noticed.
I bounce it. When I'm watching a band, I'm bouncing around every member, just like, all right, what, picking up on some ism, little things they're doing,
sure,
or not, or whatever. But
yeah, I do have a good time, and you know, even with the cover stuff, you know, it does feel different, you know. But I mean, hell, when I'm playing break stuff, I'm having a blast, you know, like, and even the Nine Inch Nails stuff, you know, it's a little more serious, but I love Nine Inch Nails, and so like playing that stuff is really fun, and you know, it's there's only a few times during the show where it's like, okay, this is gonna be a really tricky part, I gotta like really focus, you know, when you kind of come up on that stuff, you know, you can't let yourself go too far. You gotta really focus. But for the most part, you know, I can do all that stuff in my sleep. So it's like I can just focus on having fun. And yeah, it's a blast. But
all right, so
but yeah, and then
to plug.
So I'm supposed to plug some stuff. Okay,
fun.
So
sorry, that was my plug about you.
Okay, so yeah, Secret of Boris. We just put out two singles in the last couple months, and we got another one coming out here in a week,
well,
2 weeks, I guess, called I Hate This Place. And then we've got a couple more coming out, and then we should have a record ready to go by the summer.
Okay.
We've got a title, but we can't release yet. But I'm telling you, this record's good. Like, it's the best stuff we've done. It's my favorite thing.
I'm loving the single so far. Those
good. Yeah, Room 101 has just been, the response has been really, really awesome. And then also This Is What We Get has been great too. And it's I mean, two of the heaviest songs we've done, I think. And then this next one it's a little different, but it's good. And I think people are gonna find something that they can relate to with it. So I'm super excited about it. And then the one after that that's coming is my favorite on the record. And then we got a kind of a surprise after that, and then then the record's coming out, and we got all like the rest of this year is lining up to be a really cool and interesting year for the band.
Nice.
And like some big shows, just some big things coming that I'm really excited about. I think we're all just like super jazzed at this point.
That's awesome.
And then yeah, Manifestive's doing some cool stuff too. Like, we just put a record out, and we're playing with the Birthday Massacre next month, and then of course Paragraph and Lilith are running out to California to do some shows out there, and so I don't, there's just like everything is just firing on all cylinders right now. It's really cool. So
well,
I'm super excited.
If you need a comedian to open up for you,
yeah, all right,
you can fake you know, have to replace a tom or something like that. Like, oh no, this you just knock it over and be like, hey guys, it's gonna take me like 10 minutes.
Is there a comedian in the house?
Is there a comedian in the house? And I just walk out from the side stage. Let's not tell the other guys. Yeah. All right. All right, Ryan Arthur Schuschel. There you go. Say your last name.
The way it's supposed to be is Schuschel.
Schuschel. Okay. Yeah. Easy enough.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's really not that difficult.
I'm still going to, every title of this episode, I got tired of, and I went back and renamed, instead of interview with, you know, the person, I go back and give it some dumb title. So I'm going to overthink this one and have some fun with it.
All right,
man. Thanks a lot, man. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, appreciate it, man.
Thanks a lot for pro rehearsal, for having us here, unbeknownst to them. Just kidding. Prater, you know, knows we're here. All right. Y'all have a great day. It's the Breckening Podcast. Come see me do stand-up. Check my socials at The Breckening, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Yeah, whatever.